ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. You are kind of quiet. I should be the one quiet. I'm coming from an airplane. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Pastor, forgive me, my ear still has not opened since coming from 30,000 feet, so I'm hearing from one ear. But inshallah, the topic is living in the shade of the Quran. And there's a beautiful ayat in Surah Yunus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ وبفضل الله ورحمته فبذلك فليفرح هو خير مما يجمعون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yunus, which is the 10th chapter of the Quran, He says, وبفضل الله وبرحمته, He says, and in the fadl of Allah, which is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy, then let them in this thing to celebrate, to be joyous. And this is better than everything that they have amassed. And I used to wonder, when I was in school with our teacher, what is Fadlullah in this ayah? وَبِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and in the blessing of Allah, and in His mercy, and these things let them celebrate. So I used to ask myself this question, what is Fadlullah in this ayah? What is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That Allah is saying that we should celebrate. So I read in the tafsir of Imam Qurtubi, rahimahullah, who is a great scholar of tafsir, and also in the book of Ibn Kathir, a very interesting story. That one time, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he was in his khilafah, in his time of leadership, he was going to Iraq, al-Iraq, which is Iraq. And he was going with his servant. So as they were going, they found some beautiful camels. You know, beautiful camels in those days are like a nice Lexus. Nice Lexus in these days. So they found some beautiful camels. And the servant of Umar, he said, هَذَا مِن فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَرَحْمَتِي. This is from, and he used the same word in this ayah, because those people, subhanAllah, even they used to speak with Qur'an. If something happened to them, they related it to Qur'an. So he used this, the same pattern of this ayah, وَبِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. So he said, هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ لَا وَرَحْمَتِي. These things are from the blessings of Allah and His mercy. Then Umar رضي الله عنه said, كَذَّبْت. You're lying. He said, this is from those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. These are from those things which you have collected. But this is not from the fadl of Allah and His rahmah. Then I became more perplexed. I said, why did Umar say this? Then I found the statement of Ibn Abbas, رضي الله عنه, who said about this verse, فضل الله والقرآن ورحمته أن جعلكم من أهلي. Ibn Abbas, he gave me the clear understanding of this verse. He said, the blessing of Allah is what? Who can guess? A, Quran. B, Quran. C, Quran. D, all of the above. Who's going to answer E? We're going to throw him out. It's Quran. And the rahmah of Allah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you from its people. That He blessed you and chose you to be from the people of the Quran. So we're going to talk about, look, subhanAllah, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how they see the Quran as fadl, as ni'mah, as blessing. وَذْكُرُ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember the blessing of Allah upon you. So we're going to go into the shade of the Quran. And actually, when I was told that I was going to do this lecture, I became a little bit happy and also a little bit nervous, because this is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're going to talk about. And what I chose to do is just to give you some practical lessons as youth from the Quran. Because many times, why are we told to read the Quran? Who knows? The negative personification of reading the Quran is what? Bismillah. No? I have one ear. Barakah. Your mom and dad, or not your mother and father, don't indict any parents. But when you're a small child, someone has a stick, read the Quran, boy. Why? Barakah. Bam! This is Quran. Read the Quran, girl. Why? Bam! Barakah. That's barakah. It's a headache, man. And we grow up with this understanding of Islam. This cultural outlook of Islam. When someone dies, what happens? Yasin, wa Quran, hakim, lakam, sarqu azim, read Quran. Someone's born, read Quran. Someone dies, read Quran. Someone gets married, pay someone to read the Quran. One time, my wife is from Malaysia, and I had to make maraja of my Quran. So I sat in the front of her door, and I had to review actually the juz where Yasin is from. So I was reading Yasin, and being from a revert to Islam, I don't know sometimes the cultural things that are existing amongst Muslim cultures. And the phone started to ring, man, in the house. Did somebody die? Why is the man in front of your house reading the Quran? Then my mother-in-law, she came to me, she told me, look, don't do that again. When someone reads the Quran in front of someone's house, it means something bad happened. SubhanAllah, this is a Muslim country. Somebody reads the Quran, it means something bad happened. So today we're going to take some ibar, some lessons from Quran for youth and for old people too, not so old, mashallah. And before we start, it's kind of just free-flowing lecture. We have to understand the purpose of the Quran. Who can tell me the purpose of the Quran? Because if I don't understand the purpose of something, I'm not going to know how to approach it. But when I know its purpose, when I know its objective, I'm going to know how to approach it. What's the main goal of the Quran? Is what? Exactly. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, the brother said guidance, he's correct. The Quran is a guide. That's how it has to be approached. His job is to guide you. That's why we read in the second chapter of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَلِّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. This is a book. In it there is no doubt, a guidance for people. You know, to show you this, today we're going to talk a little bit about the Arabic language, but inshallah, easy stuff, don't worry. Nobody reads this verse, many people do, but there's a better opinion about it. You can read it like this. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Some people said, you can read this verse with the following meaning. Try to pay attention. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ. This is the book, no doubt. فِيهِ هُدًى. In it is guidance. For those who believe, those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the strong opinion said, no. Read it like this. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is the book, there's no doubt in it. A guidance. You understand the difference from saying, in it is guidance, and it is a guidance? Because if you say, in it is guidance, it also means what else could be in it? What else? Misguidance. Has some guidance, has some misguidance. وَيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ. But when you read it saying, huda, it's a huda. Itself, its job, its purpose, it is in itself guidance. You got it? Everybody understand this? That's why we say, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This book in itself is a guidance. A guidance in every aspect of your life. Let's talk about one of the major things that Muslim youth face. And Muslims, man. How many of you, you went to the mall? Everyone to the mall. Inshallah. They broke the sound barrier with their hand raising. Went to the mall, or at your job, or at some place, in a restaurant, and you meet a Muslim. And what you want to say to that Muslim? So curse. No. You see this Muslim? And it's happened. And suddenly he starts to go like, or she starts to go like this. Don't say it. Don't reveal my identity to anyone. Don't say salam alaikum to me, right? Just say hello. Because of this inferiority complex built in Muslims' hard drives right now. This inferiority of being who we are. Of not thinking about the greatness of being Muslims. And you see many times, you meet somebody, his name is Muhammad, and suddenly his name became Mo. Like Mo Better Blues. You meet someone, her name is Fatima, suddenly she became Faye Dog. You meet someone named Abdullah, became what? A. Why? Inferiority, man. Scared to be who we are. But look at the Quran. One of the first lessons we can take being in the shade of the Quran is the identity of a Muslim. And where we should have this pride and this love for being who we are. How many of you know the story of Laylatul Isra wal Mi'raj? The story of the night when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the seventh heaven. How many of you are familiar with this story? Sisters, you don't know? Okay. Brothers, inshallah. Good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Surah Isra. And this is the beauty of the Quran. The lessons you can take from Quran. That where did he take the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who knows? Where did he go? To which place? To where? I'm in the seventh heaven. And when he got to this place, and he reached the Sidratul Muntaha, it's mentioned in the Surah Al-Najm. What did Jibreel? He told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told him, I can't go with you. You're the only one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to go. This is the closest that anyone's been to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from human beings. He's on the seventh heaven. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ, he did not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he was extremely close to Allah. And what is the name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used? You want to talk about your identity? When he talked about this event. سبحان الذي أسرى بنبيه أو رسوله أو حبيبه سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was at this level, this close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the seventh heaven, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. He didn't say, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِنَبِيِّهِ أَوْ بِرَسُولِهِ أَوْ حَبِيبِهِ. He was abd. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this place, that nobody was given this honor to be this close to Allah. What's the name that Allah used to describe the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? His slave. Glorified be the one who took his slave, his servant, his abd, on the night of Laylatul Isra wal Mi'raj. What's the lesson? How is it that I can feel that having any other identity would be greater than the identity of being the abd of Allah? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this place, and he's using this word abd, he didn't even use his name. But we see ourselves, we are nervous to be the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is living in the shade of the Qur'an, giving you this lesson on how to feel proud of yourself. That I'm the servant of Allah. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best name is what? In Sahih Bukhari. Is what? Abdullah. My identity. Your identity. The second nice lesson we can take from the Quran is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He uses beautiful terminology and nice examples to show you that the best system of life is Islam. And encourages you and me to follow Islam. And He uses ways which make people use their mind. If you go to Surah Al-Anfal, which is the 8th chapter of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those people who disbelieve in Him. And He uses an analogy which is very, very strong and very, very much detailed. He says, Subhana, إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِّ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ صُمُّ بُكْمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, the worst of creatures, and daba is usually referring to animals, with Allah are those people who are deaf, dumb, and they don't have any aql, any intellect. Now the person has to ask themselves, who are these people, man? Because you don't want to be like these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same surah, He gives the tafsir of this ayah, He says, إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed the worst creature is a kafir. So earlier Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is comparing a kafir to someone who doesn't have any brain, doesn't have any aql. Now, in Arabic language, I'm going to go back so don't change. We have two things. Ma and men. Ma is used to refer to something that doesn't have a brain. Layla al-aql, like the table, like the wall, like the ground. Man is like home. Means woman, female, or male, so forth. Okay? Now, if you go in the Quran, stay with me. And so to Luqman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَ هُ عِلْمُ الْغَيْبِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْبِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ أَوْ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using this ma and this man in an interesting way. In Surah Luqman, stay with me about the worst of creatures are those who disbelieve because they don't have aql. You're going to catch something really cool. You're going to say, wow, that's deep, man. I'm going to go read the Quran when I get home. I never knew that. Surah Luqman, the last verse of Surah Luqman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, with Allah is the knowledge of the hour and the sending of the rain, and He knows what's in the womb. What's in the womb? Now usually what's in the womb? What? I'm expecting baby next week, next 3 weeks. Everybody ask me, is it a what? Is it boy or girl? So, consequently, wouldn't Allah use this? وَيَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْحَمِ But He didn't. He used this ma. This is also from the I'jaz of Qur'an. From miracle of Qur'an. But why? One time I went to my ustad. And I was reading Surah Luqman. And I told him, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right. He used in the surah to say he knows what's in the womb. And even now they can stick that camera in there, and sometimes still they can't know if it's boy or girl. My teacher, he give me some meat, man. Some biryani with good masala. He told me, you don't understand this verse. I told him, why? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used man instead of men. What that means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew before He created creation that human beings would have this knowledge of men fil arham. That one day, man is going to know if it's boy or girl. That's why He used man to show you that He knows what's in the womb even before anything is there. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did you catch that? He knows that one day human beings will be able to know the sex of the baby. That's why if He used man in that surah, the kuffar can say, look at the Quran. It's a mistake in the Quran. Because Allah said only He has this knowledge. But He used man to show them, aha, one day you're going to know. But I know even before that. Now back to the system of Islam. Does everyone get that? If not, he's going to answer the question, inshallah, after the lecture. But now go to Surah Al-Teen. Everyone in here memorized Surah Al-Teen. I'm sure. I hope. And I pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْضُ بِالْتِينِ. Now someone has to say, in Arabic has to be, وَمَن يُكَذِّبُ. Allah says, وَمَا يُكَذِّبُ. Why? Now Allah is talking about a man or woman who denies Islam. And he uses man, not men. Because man is talking about someone that has a brain. Don't human beings have brains? Yes. But somebody who denies Islam is like somebody with no brain. You catch it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, somebody who denied this deen is like somebody with no sense, no aql. And that's why he said, إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ. Indeed the worst creature with Allah is the one who doesn't hear, he doesn't think. So look how the Quran is encouraging you to move on it, to understand it. Another beautiful example that we can find from the Quran is the role of the youth. Because many times when we go places, people ask, what's the role of the youth, man? What am I supposed to do? Go to Surah Al-Baqarah and find the story of Dawood alayhi salam. And you find that the Israelite history is given in detail in the Quran. Especially in this part of the Surah of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the post-Musa era. What happened with them? Now, who can name me some of the problems of Muslims now? Everyone got some of their own special ones. But who can name some of the problems of Muslims now? Feel free. Yes, sister. Westernization. Oh, yeah, man, Westernization. That's why Muhammad became Momo. What else? Yes, brother.
Division.
Divided, yeah. Now you go to the city and they tell you this is the American masjid. This is the white American masjid. This is the black American masjid. This is the Pakistani masjid. This is the Punjabi masjid. This is the Muhajir masjid. This is the Gujarati masjid. This is the Saudi masjid. This is the masjid, man. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَبِعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. What is the masjid of the Muslims? Division. What else? What else? Who knows? Some more things. What about culture? Very, very shaky understanding of Islam. Yeah, what about culture too? The biggest problem is the limited understanding of Islam. If there's no fahm, there's no practice. If there's no practice, there's no jihad. If there's no jihad, there's no Muslims.
Nationalism.
Yeah, subhanAllah. Maybe those of you who are in marriage age, you experience this nationalism in your own home.
maybe you saw it with your own eyes.
Okay, now you take all of these problems and look at the surah in Surah Baqarah and the story of Banu Israel. And they had the same problems.
أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الْمَلَئِ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى. This page.
That's why Allah starts to talk about the problems of Bani Israel. He says one of them is that they quit jihad. And they turned away from fighting in the cause of Allah. Another one is that they were kicked from their homes and their children were being killed. This happens to Muslims now. Another one is that when they asked Allah to send them a king, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them Talut, Saul. And when Saul came to them, you know what they said? He's not from our side of town. He doesn't have a lot of bank. He can't be our king. Does this sound familiar? Open up the back of many Muslim magazines. Look at the marital section. It's almost like a comedy show, man. What's the first thing they mention when they're looking for a husband or a wife? إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ. Huh? Yeah. Where are you from? Please. White, 6'6", green card holding Americans only. My daughter, she'll marry no one. Okay, so first is race. Race is mentioned. And even if it became so ridiculous, sometimes it became tribe. In that country, they'll mention that certain tribe that's like 6% of the total population of the country. And you don't live in that country. So what's the chance of marrying someone? Then after that, after they mention the nationality, what's next? I've seen this with my own eyes. What's next? Yeah, you need to be a what, man? Don't even think about calling for my daughter. Till what? Till you do what? You gotta graduate from Johns Hopkins, man. You gotta be a doctor, man. Not to disrespect doctors. Or you gotta be what? Engineer. And I have seen some that say, please, 6 figures only. Bam. All the brothers is like, Ya Allah. Brother can't get no break, man. And also on the other hand, the sisters. 38-year-old girl, never married, man. Why? Oh, but you can't marry him, but he's not making $20 million. What am I going to do, convert Bill Gates? It's not going to happen. So culture. Also secularism. We find that they split their religion into halves. Life and religion. Life and religion. Lack of discipline. They were not disciplined Israelites at that time. You read about them. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them to drink from this river, most of them they drank from it. But what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send to fix them? Is what, subhanAllah? It's interesting. You want to know your role as youth? Read the story. They sent him Dawood. Dawood, he's young. He is so young. When you read the life of his story, it's interesting. That at that time, everything was going against them, and they had a major battle to fight, and they went, these Israeli people, these followers of Musa, excuse me, and they went to fight. And who showed up on the set? Kind of what happened to Allen Iverson the other day. Shaquille O'Neal showed up. This guy is like two Shaquille O'Neal. Jalut came. So now everything is at its worst moment. They're going to go fight, and now a giant comes. Ya Allah. You're going to do... If we fight that guy, man. No, no. And they became cowards. And they started to lose their hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Dawood, he was sent by his father there just to take care of his brothers and so forth. And Dawood, it became so bad that the king, he said, whoever fights him, I will marry you to my daughter. Still, brothers was like, hey, I want to get married and everything. I'm not trying to get smoked. I'm not trying to meet death. At least I want to meet the girl before I get killed, you know what I'm saying? That's a big old guy. Dawood, he was there. And Dawood alayhi salam, he was watching this and he was mu'min. Sadiqan billah. La yakhafuna lawmata la'im. Wa lam yakhshawna illallah. Wa lam yakhshaw illallah. Didn't be scared of anyone but Allah. So he comes up, Dawood is real skinny. Said, look, I'll fight him. And they laughed at him. They thought it was a joke. So I'll fight him, man. Let me go and fight him. So he finally convinced them. And you guys, sometimes maybe your mother and father tell you, like, brothers wear a kufi, you know, when you go to the masjid, you're like, I don't want a kufi. Sister, maybe your mother tell you to dress some type of cultural dress, you just don't feel that it's your style. Same thing happened to him, man. They give him some armor and a nice sword. You know, he got strapped. He was ready to get down. What do you think he did? He took it off. Says, it was not really my style, man. I got this little stone and this slingshot. I'm going to take him out. They say, Ya Allah. So this is how youth are, right or wrong. So he went with his iman in Allah and his trust in Allah. As the brother mentioned, understanding the Quran in the context of movement. He didn't sit, he went. And he went out on the battlefield and everybody was watching. And it said, even Kathir, he says that Jalut, he was so arrogant, called Goliath in English, he said to her, little boy, this ain't the place to be playing no games, man. You need to get on back to the house. This is not no playground. And Dawood, he said, I came to kill you in the sake of Allah. Then he said, woof, who's this guy? Then the entire battlefield, it froze. And they're watching this scene. And suddenly he picked up his slingshot, like mashallah our brothers and sisters in Palestine are using slingshots to kill the enemies of Allah. And he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And he let it go. So now you are the youth. And you are facing giants. Isn't all this stuff we just talked about, the Muslims facing giants, man? Now Allah subhanallah, can you believe that someone could put in there six figures only? Wallahi, don't laugh. Please, do not laugh. I saw a man, he said one time, no fat chicks. Don't laugh. Is Muslim or not? Yani, what if the sister, she's good sister? What if she's mu'mina, saliha, muttaqiyya? What if she's sick? What if she can't help her weight? What about the brother, he can't help his weight? And you're going to put that for the Muslims to read? Because you're thinking about dunya, man. Your mind is only in dunya. Your mind is not in hurting other people's feelings and stuff. So Dawood, he let that rock go. It's flying at that giant. Here you are as Muslim youth. What you gonna do, man? How long you gonna sit and play games? You have to take out these giants too. Man, I don't deal with old people. When they call me for conferences, I ask them, what's the age? No offense, older brothers. If he's above 40, I'm like, look, man, I'm staying at the house. I'm not coming. Because the change is gonna come from the youth. So now he let that rock fly, it's flying across the battlefield, and the people are watching it. Now you are youth. You got this rock of Islam in your hand. You got to let it go too. You got to quit fronting and quit playing around. Quit listening to Slim Shady and doing all this nasty stuff and be down for Islam. Because when you be down for Islam, you're going to fix the problems of the Muslims. Because this is the sunnah of Allah with you. That's why the Prophet said, Nasarani Shabab. Nasarani Shabab. I was helped by who? By the young people. So he let that rock fly, bam, and hit him and it killed him. And you find in the history of the Muslims who followed Moses, that these people with Dawood became revived. And their life came back together again. And they again, for some small time, established the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their life. This is one of the lessons you can take from the Quran, man. As young people, it's your job. Yani your role as youth, what you gonna do? Shaitan got you wasting your time playing PlayStation for 16 hours a day. 16 hours a day? We had a program at our masjid just 2 days ago for Muslim youth. Sleepover for boys. And they didn't sleep, man. And I didn't sleep. Okay, so I'm kind of out of it. And they played basketball till 3 a.m. I watched them. Till 3 a.m. And then I had a PlayStation 2 tournament. Only halal games. Now, after Fajr, I'm going to show you how Shaitan play with people. Sometimes I do stuff to test our kids.
I told them, you know, after the Fajr prayer, I said, this is the time to make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to read some Quran. Suddenly they became very sleepy. And 96% of them got knocked out. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ اللَّهُ. Because this understanding of the Quran, it's not just something that you have in your life as a culture. When I was a non-Muslim, and I got my hands on the Quran, and it's even miraculous how I got my hands on the Quran. I went to the library. I was a gangster. I was a member of the Bloods. So I'm in the library, and they're like, what's this guy in the library for? Jail down there, you know. So in the library, I'm looking for the Quran. I type Quran in the computer, and it said, this book is not available in the, you know, metropolitan library system. I said, I don't trust these people, man. I bet it's here. I probably spelled it wrong. Actually, I probably spelled it with a Q. They spelled it with a K. Then I went and subhanAllah, I found the Quran. Because who wants to find guidance, Allah is going to help him. Then I took the Quran home, and even I was with my partner, and I was embarrassed to tell him that I was searching. Because you know, when you're out there in the streets, you got to act like, yeah, I don't need nothing, man. That's how you front, as they say, you lie. It's a lie. So when he was asking me, I said, this book's for my mom, you know what I'm saying? Let's pick up for my mom. I know the book is for me, but subhanAllah, I'm blessed to let them know I need something. But in my heart, I need something. Now I went and I read the Quran in the restroom. Because I know if my mother found the Quran, this is on, man. This is going to be Tyson Holyfield 4. And I got only one ear left. You know? She's going to take that one out. So I had to hide it. And I started to read the Quran. And the moment I started reading it, man, I said, this is deep, man. This book is deep. Because even though I was a bad person, my mother and father made sure I could read. But I encourage you to make sure you can read. Because no matter how far you get out there, that's something that you can always take with you, is reading. Iqra. So I started reading the Quran. And I'll tell you a funny story. That Quran was printed backwards. Like an Arabic system, but in English, which is kind of stupid. And at that time, the only thing I know about is the Nation of Islam. So then I thought I was reading the Quran backwards. I couldn't understand anything, man. I was like, man, maybe the white people are cursed, man. Maybe they can't understand the Quran. I thought that. Then I realized that I gotta turn it back around. Then I started to read. It was Abdul Yusuf Ali's translation. And I started to read, man. I started to read intensely. And my head started hurting. And I started to feel this nice feeling in my heart, man. The way that the Quran is calling you to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, man. It's touching you. It's calling you deeply. Then I got to one verse. كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Isa and his mom. And he said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, these people used to eat food. I started thinking, how can God eat? And that's when I start to become convinced of Islamic monotheism. From these arguments. So the Quran started to change me. And even after I became Muslim, my friends were like, man, what changed you, man? I said, the Quran. This book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, why many of you might not get that reality? It's because you were born Muslim. And that's not bad. Don't be like, are you trying to say it's better than us, man? Lucky you converted to Islam. I'm born with it, man. She are luckier than me. But I'll tell you a story, and we're going to finish, about this Quran. About a sister that I met in California 2 or 3 weeks ago for Mass Youth Conference. MashaAllah, about 1,000 youth. There was a sister who was dressed very badly, man. She was dressed to kill, as they say, man. And this sister, she came up to me. She's like, I need to talk to you. And at first I put on my Maulana, you know. Sister ain't got a present, you know what I'm saying? Can't talk to no Zindigi, Bebandigi, Shamindigi, you know, I can't talk to no girl like this. But subhanAllah, I don't know what happened. Something came into my heart, and sisters, don't be offended, I'm not trying to jump on the sisters or something like that. And told me, man, you need to go talk to this girl, man. Something was pounding me, man. Bothering me. Because maybe this sister, she's out there, and if you treat her like that, what she's going to think about Muslims, man? Muslims are arrogant, you know? Muslims are trifling. So I went and I talked to her, and this sister's story is amazing, and it fits into what I was just talking about. She told me, I was born as a Muslim, I was raised in Los Angeles, and in high school I got out there. I got lost, man. I was tripping. So I was just way away from Islam. She said my parents didn't practice, their friends didn't practice. It was just a cultural thing. Then my parents, I got so far out there that they sent me to a Christian boarding school. Duh, that's real brilliant. I love parents come to me and tell me, my daughter's lost, my son's lost. Really, why are they? Oh, they're at St. Mary Elijah's Catholic boarding school. Duh. What do you do with your kids, man? So she told me, I went to this boarding school and I became a Christian. Then I said, I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know I'm full of sins, but for some reason he told me to go back and talk to the system. She said, I became a Christian. I left Islam. I became a Catholic. Then I graduated. Then I came home and I started thinking to myself, how can I worship a man? SubhanAllah, look at Allah. Allah put fitra yani in the heart of the person. The natural Islamic inclination in her heart. And she said, I started thinking, I'm worshiping a man. It's like, yeah, you are. I used to do it too. Welcome to the club. And I'm drinking his blood, eating his flesh every Sunday. I was like, well, I don't know about all that. It used to be grape juice. But then it's supposed to be his blood. Isa. And his bread is supposed to be his skin. Okay, sound like paganism to me. Then she said, I became Muslim again. When she said that, I said, phew, man. I was like, man, I gotta Big Mac converter or something, really fast, you know. You know, you order a hamburger at McDonald's, it'll be like 3 seconds. So I was gonna try to convert her in 3 seconds, but you shouldn't do that. She said, I became Muslim again, and this is the beautiful part. She said, after I became Muslim again, I found the beauty of Islam. She said, after I accepted Islam, but kind of, she was covered, but she was dressed kind of not Islamically. If I would have dissed her, which I hope I would never do to anyone, it could have had a really bad impact on her, man. So she said, I'm coming, you know, I'm coming. I'm working my way into it. But she said, after I accepted Islam, then I start to see the beauty of Islam. Why? And the same thing with the Quran for you, is she approached it as a study on movement, as he mentioned. Everything she reads, she tried to do it. When she reads it, it's not because Baba told me I gotta read it. She reads it to do it. And this is something that you might lose as being in a Muslim culture. It became like habit and adah, yani. Just something you do it, so what? You do it. But when she came into it, she was like, wow. She said, I never knew it was so beautiful. I never knew this beautiful religion like this. So yeah, I found the same thing you found too. So the last piece of advice about the Quran, and there are a lot of other we can give from Quran, but I don't want to give too much, is to approach it as a study to be practiced. As a book of guidance. That's why Sayyid Qutb, he said, Rahimallah, in his book, Milestones, he said that the companions of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, they used to approach the Quran like soldiers used to approach the orders of a general. And every day they would take a few orders, do it, practice it, live it, and take it some more. And also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, guide me to see the beauty of the Quran. They ask us in our masjid, what's the syllabus for our youth group? And we tell them our syllabus is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this book has so many beautiful things. And we finish inshallah with two hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first one he said was, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ. The best human beings are those who learn and teach the Qur'an. And the last one also is a sound hadith. He said, أَهْلُ الْقُرْآنَ أَهْلُ اللَّهُ وَخَاصَتَهُ. That the people of Allah, His chosen people, are the people of the Qur'an. Those who take the Qur'an. So what are you going to do? How are you going to do all of this? Simple advice. Spend 5 minutes every day with the book of Allah. Sometimes parents, you make a mistake. You tell them you have to read one para every day. Yeah, it's hard for kids, man. I'm not trying to say it's good that they don't read a para every day. But that para, it'd be like, man, I gotta read all that.
Okay.
Start them step by step by step by step by step by step by step. Read a few every day and think about it. Try to ponder it, try to practice it. Read the tafsir. Ask your sheikh, ask your imam how to live this book, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله وأستغفر الله وأستغفر الله.